Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
24. As we get into our message today, there's been so much talk this past week about essential equipment, about PPE, this personal protection equipment that healthcare workers, and now that all of us are going to have to use for some time. And I got a lot of folks who have been trying to make stuff on their own, and those are real, real neat to see the different patterns that are being shared and the generosity of so many. But there's been some misguided attempts. Hang on. And so here's maybe the our first one. Our misguided attempt is maybe a barista making a coffee filter here. That's to protect their cough. I think that's interesting. Our next one is going to be just because you're an expert in one field doesn't mean that your knowledge is going to translate. Okay, so that's maybe a computer geek trying to make a personal protection gear with his antivirus. Yeah, I don't think it quite works that way. I looked at the CDC website, and the CDC website kind of gave some interesting things about right ways and wrong ways. And the truth is, a lot of folks are not using their masks correctly. So the CDC kind of breaks down some, here's your public service announcement from First Christian Church, your friends here. They were kind of showing how these respirators, they have to be put on correctly, they have to be worn during exposure, and they have to fit snugly. You're not supposed to touch them all the time, they're supposed to be there, and so they have some ways to make sure that you're using them, and if they're not used correctly, they can be problematic. And so I was thinking about all this stuff this week, and as I was thinking about these things, I began to reflect back on God's Word, specifically where we've been the past few weeks, and I realized something, that God has given us some essential equipment. He's given us some really important things, and we need to use them correctly. It's kind of like they're PPE for our soul or for our spirit. Now, that does not say that God exempts us from trials and tribulations here on earth, but rather, in the midst of those times, we can find His strength and His provision while we're going through these times. But we need to use them correctly. So the past 2 weeks, we've looked at the circumstances surrounding the resurrection and how many of Jesus' closest followers on earth found themselves downcast and discouraged when God, in fact, was doing exactly what He said He was going to do all along. And so we looked last week at the two on the road to Emmaus and how they had heard the promises that Jesus spoke, but they only heard it partly. So I want to talk about that in a very broad sense. It's kind of like PPE. It's kind of like our personal protection equipment. We need to use it correctly and not just partially. And so there is what God said, and then there's what I heard. You know, anybody have that problem in their life where someone speaks something and what you hear isn't necessarily what they speak? I guess my goal for the message today is to make sure that when we're looking into God's Word, we're looking at it correctly. And so many of Jesus' followers on earth, they expected Him to overthrow the Roman Empire. And they were all into Him rescuing them the way that they envisioned Him working, rather than the way that He told them that He was going to rescue them. Now, the same, I think, can be true for us, I fear. I fear that we can, at times, misuse the essential equipment that God has given to us. And in doing so, it can lead us to discouragement and to frustration. So let's pick up where we left off last week in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24 and see what Jesus had to say to His followers who were struggling again with Him doing exactly what He said He was going to do. And today I want to highlight four statements in Jesus' interaction with these individuals after He had risen from the grave, okay? So Let's look here, Luke 24. It's after these two who had this encounter on the road to Emmaus went back and reported it to all of the rest of the disciples. We pick up the story right there. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Again, remember, anytime that Jesus asks a question, it's not that he's looking for information. He already possesses it. He's not looking for information. He's trying to give revelation. Okay? He says, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" He tells them, "See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." Interesting comments here. And then he said, and when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Hang on, gang. You know, Jesus is blowing their minds, okay? And what I found in my life is when God is being God, he just blows my mind. It messes with me. Things like this. I don't understand so much of what God does in my life, okay? I have a hard time comprehending it. It's like Isaiah 55 when it says that as high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how high my thoughts are than your thoughts and my ways than your ways. Things like this. Why does God give me grace when I think I'm unforgivable? That blows my mind. Why does he forgive me? And quite frankly, I really don't deserve it. And then he doesn't make me earn it. He offers it to me to accept through faith. You know, why does he love people whom I can't stand and then calls me to do the very same? Why is it that he sits with sinners and with the broken people and the outcasts and he calls them to his wonderful, miraculous purpose in their lives, and he chooses those whom the world rejects and then he empowers them in powerful ways through their life? He gives grace to my enemies, and then he calls me to do the very same. Why? We're going to get to that in just a moment. Let's continue on in verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Just a little bit more. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. So this brings me to my first statement of four statements today. Again, I've got 4 points, not three, sorry, but the first two we go through quickly, the last two we go through quickly here. So the first point, I think that's essential equipment that he gives to us that we need to understand how to use correctly, gang. What I don't want us to do is to, like, be going out with our masks half off and not fitting correctly. God has given us some really essential equipment that we need to use. And I find it in this first statement that kind of blows my mind. He says, "Have you anything here to eat?" And what I believe this refers to is our time with God. Okay? It's kind of an odd question here in verse 41. They're sitting here wondering and they're marveling and they're doubting, all of these together with joy. I mean, it's a mix of emotions, kind of like a lot of us are experiencing right now. A whole lot of different emotions. They are freaking out that Jesus rose from the dead, and some feel that he's a spirit, that he's a ghost, that he's a Fig Newton of their imagination. You know, he's just all over the place. They're trying to figure out, what is he? And here's what Jesus is saying. Guys, I am real. We can't miss that part of the resurrection. These real flesh and blood. Jesus is like, look, you don't get it. I'm real and I'm personable and I'm here for you. And Jesus wants to get real with you, my church family. And so in our time with God, I really need you to understand that Jesus wants to get real with you. He wants to interact with you in a real way, which means being personal, being intimate. God is relatable. Jesus was a real person. He is fully human and he is fully God. And we forget the fully human part. That God is relatable to us through Jesus. In other words, Jesus is relationship. Now I understand there's a hard balance there. You know, some people get flippant with their relationship with Jesus and think, oh, he's one of the boys and thus we don't really have to take him seriously. And then they cheapen the grace of God. The fact is that he is divinely sovereign. He is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's almighty. He is the one who's riding on the white horse, the conquering king, the all-consuming holy fire. We are all, as well as all nations, will bow down before him in reverence. Yes, he is all of that. And, everybody say and, come on, he wants to be in a relationship with you. When we really wrestle with that, we're going to kind of be like the disciples. We're doubting, we have fear, we also have joy, what does that mean? What does that look like? And here's what Jesus says. Have you anything here to eat? Odd question. In other words, it's like Jesus in wrestling all this says, hey, I just want to make it real plain with you. Let's eat. And in doing so, he opens our eyes to who he really is. You know, isn't it something when you have dinner with somebody? It kind of breaks barriers. You meet somebody, maybe somebody special, and you have coffee with them. And then maybe you go for a walk. And then you graduate to dinner. And you find out a lot about people when you have a meal with them. And we need to realize this, that Jesus wants to be like that with us. Now, I remember some people in my life. I went to Cuba, and I had known some of the team prior to going down on our mission. But most of them only knew me in a professional sense, where I had been on advisory boards, then I had been in meetings where things were very formal, where things were very structured. And so I remember going down and kind of feeling like the outsider, and it was like, okay, what's going on here? And then we had a couple of meals. And anybody who knows me kind of finds out I'm a little bit of a cut up. I enjoyed it. I like having fun. I like just to kind of be real. And so sometimes in these settings, you know, I'll crack a joke or I'll do something and I'll let them see that other side of me. You know, there's sometimes that professional side, or if I'm in a, you know, officiating a funeral or wedding, you know, there's one way. But then there's that the kind of behind the veil, that letting my hair down. I know that's a bad analogy for me. But the truth is, and I did that with these individuals, and I remember them coming back saying, you're nothing at all like we thought. We thought you were this rigid, scary, blah, 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 blah. Why do people think I'm scary? I don't know. It's just a joke there. It's just a joke. Anyway, it was kind of, I just popped my sermon in half. I was laughing with people, and we were cutting up, and they were like, we had you totally wrong. Many of us only know the church, Jesus. And to that end, he wants to get very personal with you. He wants to say, hey, could we just sit down and eat? Could we just sit down and just relate? There's a couple pastor friends of mine who I I admired. I'm thinking one particular. It was my mentor in the ministry for 13 years. And I remember the first time meeting him and listening to the preaching and all the talents and giftings. And I was like, oh my heavens. I just was so blown away at the gifting and the skills. And I remember, trying to talk and thinking, man, I'm kind of like John the Baptist. I'm not worthy to untie your sandals and then say, hey, you know, let's go grab lunch. Let's talk. So what, me? You want to have lunch with me? Yep. And at that meal, we're breaking bread and we're talking and then beginning to laugh, and beginning to get to know each other and some of the nuances. You see, Jesus wants to get real with you. Kind of like the woman at the well of Samaria. He wants to go up and he's asking her this question, give me to drink. And then their conversation gets real deep. Hey, let's talk about your relationships. Hey, how many of them you have? What's going on with that? You see, and I hate using this word, but I hope we don't stop it so formal. You see, when we do that, it's like using this essential equipment that God has given us and putting it on backwards, upside down, wrong, not sealing it. What good does it do for us? And yet, what we see like on the road to Emmaus is as they walk and talk and they sit down and they break bread, their eyes are open. And so in our time with God, we need to make Him so real. Not a mantra, not a box to be checked, not a page in a devotional, but a real risen Savior who wants to eat with you. And not in the way of the distracted couple that sits there in silence through their meal. But rather those good friends that are kind of obnoxious because they're laughing so much. They've got inside jokes. They're sharing experiences. And they're deeply invested in one another's lives. That's the Jesus that wants to relate to you. Sometimes we treat Jesus as if he's gone. Like the disciples. Oh, you're a spirit. You're a spirit. You're a spirit. And he's like, no, 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 no. I'm real. And so I want you to know, if we treat Jesus as if he's gone, he's not gone. In fact, may I remind you of the resurrection message that he is alive. It's not he was alive, it's that he is alive. Which then brings me to my next point. Point two here is the essential equipment. Not only is our time with God, but it's our understanding of God's Word. Now we could do an entire series just on God's Word. We have, we will again. But what I want to talk about today is our approach to God's Word. Here's what Jesus says, that second statement that really was highlighted with me. He says, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The entire purpose of the law, of the prophets, and of the Psalms is relationship with God, not rules to follow. In fact, the rules were to try to push us towards relationship, if we really want to understand it. So there's what I want to tell you. Our approach to God's Word, we have to remember that God's Word is relational. Just like Jesus is relational, God's Word is relational. It talks about several things. It's talking about our relationship, God's relationship with us, our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, which many of us do need to work on, and our relationship with others. If we miss out the fact that God's Word is relational, we're putting on the mask upside down and backwards. We're not squeezing. It's not fitting right. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it goes on, like I think in verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word is relational. That's why Jesus came, is to make the Word relational. And so God's Word helps us in our relationship and relationships. All of those areas. And when we don't realize that, it's misusing that essential equipment. And many approach God's Word as if it's something that it's not. Many view that this is somehow an instruction manual about how to get what God wants to give us. You're missing it. It's not just an instruction manual. It is about relationship. It's some people, honestly, I know people who use the Bible kind of like a spell book to try to manipulate God to get what they want. You know, how do I get blessed? How do I get healing? You know, they turn to God's word. They say this, I need blank, and so I'm going to look to the word to find out what it says about blank and then try to do it. Here's the problem with that. What is missing? Relationship. If you want the things of God without relationship with God, you are missing the point, gang. In fact, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. I'm not saying it's unwise to search out the scriptures about topics that we have need, because I think it is important. But what I am saying is don't miss the relationship. You see, there are many promises that God has for us throughout God's word. His love is unconditional, but many of his promised blessings are conditional. And when we examine those conditions, we find out that the root of them is relationship. Not things to do, but relationship with God. So how do we approach God's word? Well, I think the first thing we realize is that God's word is transformational. Can we all say that at home? Make the dog look at you funny, okay? Transformational, okay? God's word is transformational. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, Paul is talking about Moses and the Israelites and relating how they related to God. And he says here, but their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ it is taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns, isn't this beautiful? When one turns unto the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I love verse 18. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the beauty of the Lord, here's what it is, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, and this comes from the Lord who is spirit. So what it's saying here is that God's word is not about us getting what we want. It's about us becoming who God has called us to be. His sons and his daughters, full of purpose and full of power. The word of God is relational and transformational. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this, that the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And look at what it divides. It pierces the division of soul and spirit. That's about our emotions. How many of you have been led by your emotions these past several weeks? And I do want to ask, I mean, how many of you, just say, ouch. If the governor had his press conference and you all of a sudden went on I had a little bit of an emotional tirade there. I was like so disappointed. I was so frustrated at all this. Yes, I understand things. I know a lot of us have a different things, and we've been taken here and there and here and there, and these emotions kick in. And yet when we have the word of God, we realize that it's all about relationships. And so when we realize that the word of God is going to transform us, we begin to give grace. It's a practical thing. Hey, when we hop on social media, how about we give grace to people who don't think the same way that you think? How about we're loving to people? Because anytime we realize what the commands and what everything was really all about, it's about relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with one another. And we can't, and that's where we are to be transformed. Too many people read through scripture to validate their own preconceptions, rather than look into God's word to be transformed. And it's all about the character. Whoever honks, God bless you. And it's all about the character of God. That'll be the next thing, is amens will be people driving around and honking their horn, which would be kind of cool. A little distracting, but kind of cool. Then here's the great thing about God's word. You can talk to the author. I remember the first time my friend Ken Bradbury would write for the Coon Ridge Digest, and there are some times that he'd write an article, and then people would talk about the article, and then I'd talk with him, and I'd say, such and such said this, and he was like, that's not what my point was. Here's what my point was. And he'd say his point was that most of the times they're really acceptable. But it's fun when you can talk to the author. Oh my heavens. It makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in the world. You know, it's funny. Some people in that same vein talking about the Coon Ridge Digest, when I talk with Ken, there were times that people would be like, oh, well, Ken's talking about blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, Ken, were you talking about blah, blah? He's like, no, what I was really talking about is blah, blah, blah. And it was sometimes even the person who brought it up. You know, that's how people say, oh, that sermon would be really good for my neighbor. Oh, my wife needs to hear that sermon. We did the marriage thing, and a lot of people came up and were like, my spouse really needed, and I was like, no, it's about you. Anyway, that's free. And so Jesus, when you talk with the author, your eyes get opened. That's when you sit and you eat together. That's great stuff. And that brings our first two points together. Our time with God and our approach to God's Word. If you're trying to approach God's Word outside of relationship with God, you're really in error. Don't try to understand God's Word with just your mind. God gave you a mind, but don't eliminate relationship from that thing. Third point, because our time is getting away from us. This third statement, Jesus goes on, and that I thought was a highlight. It was like a light bulb went off, and it was spotlight was put on this sentence. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. And what I believe that next part of our essential equipment, of our PPE for the spirit, for the soul, is sharing the good news about God. Now some people are like, what? How is that a protective thing? That seems like more of an offensive. Not saying that sharing God can be offensive. Yeah, some people do it in that way. But the truth is, it's, if we look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, pretty fascinating thing. Paul is talking about armor, the spiritual armor that he gives to us. And he says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In other words, the readiness. When you have the gospel of peace, what do you do with it? You share it. And many of us forget it because not everybody's called to be a preacher. I will absolutely give you that. Not everybody is called to be a preacher. Sometimes I wonder if I'm called to be a preacher. But I'm going to tell you this. Every single person is called to share their faith. And sometimes when we don't do it and we don't realize that, we put ourselves in a bad position and we become vulnerable to Satan's attacks. Have you ever heard the old statement, the idle mind is the devil's playground? How many of you ever heard that statement? Okay, it's not in the Bible. Okay, it's not in the Bible. But the truth is, when we refuse to do what Jesus called us to do, we can get into trouble. When I refuse to do the things that Jesus has called me to do, I tell you this, I don't grow. I get very self-focused and I get very out of balance. And the times that I do do what God calls me to do, it causes me to grow. But I'm going to confess to you, sometimes I don't want to do them. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's inconvenient. But I'll tell you this. Almost every time, once I get over myself, I'm really glad that I did. And I can honestly say that I have grown from it. Sometimes, again, we're not all called to be preachers, but we are all called to share. And that might be through your service. That might be through your compassion. That might be through your prayer. It might be through your writing. I'm loving that people are having opportunities to expand on their gifts. God can use your writing, your art, your music, your dancing, all of these things to share your testimony and to share what God is doing. There's many, many different ways, but I want you to know that old church camp song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember that next verse? Hide it under a bushel? No. Guys, far too many of us have just been doing just that. Which brings me to my last point here today. embracing the Holy Spirit. You see, he says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. The final piece of equipment that I want to talk about today, there are many, many others, but the final piece of essential equipment, man, I'm saying essential equipment in Luke 24 is verse 49, talking about the Holy Spirit. And we could do, and we have done, and we will do entire series on the Holy Spirit. But suffice to say this in the end of our time here today. When we are saved, God offers us a new spirit from the dead one that we had. But we must continue in the process of allowing God's Spirit to continually give us new life. Far too many people say, yep, I got saved, and that was the end of the sentence. I want you to know this. I am continually being saved. Everybody just say that word continually. Ready? Continually. I'm continually being saved. I didn't just need Jesus in the past tense. I didn't just need Jesus. Worship Tim, come on up. I didn't just need Jesus in the past tense. I need Him. And man, I need Him every hour, every single hour of every single day. I need Him. And I want you to know that we're supposed to be continually filled with God's Spirit. I mean, continually filled. You know, the day we receive Christ, that's great. We have this newness of life. But we need to continually be filled, to be overwhelmed, to be immersed in God's Spirit. And I want to remind you this about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate gentleman. The Holy Spirit will allow us the opportunity to choose to submit or choose to resist His leading in our lives. I love this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. And I like to read this verse in the Message translation, Eugene Peterson's translation, because I really like the language that is pulled out here. And it focuses on a couple things. He writes this: the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God. And I love what it says here about the Holy Spirit, because oftentimes I think we miss this. It says, and the intimate friendship. Most translations say, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is a great translation, but I really like how the Message brings it out. The intimate friendship. Can we just say those two words, gang? The intimate friendship. Now, if you didn't say that at home, I looked really, really silly. So I'm going to give you one more shot to just make Pastor Michael really happy. Let's all say it again so everybody looks around. Ready? One, two, three. The intimate friendship. It's like Jesus saying, do you have anything to eat? I want to get that real with you, gang. May that be with you all.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.